Welcome to Michelle is Money Hungry, a podcast for financially single women looking to become financially empowered and create their best lives through online entrepreneurship. Today's episode is sponsored by the Money on the Mountain Retreat, a financial retreat for financially single women held in Denver, Colorado this October 2019. To stay in the loop, text the phrase Money on the Mountain as one word to 44222. Again, to stay in the loop, text the word money on the mountain, or rather the phrase money on the mountain to 44222. Please note there are only 100 tickets for this event. If you have questions, I am happy to jump in or jump on a call with you, not jump in a call with you. Email me at michelleismoneyhungry@gmail.com if you would like to set a call up. Today is day 31 of the government shutdown, and I'm actually struck by the fact that there are 800,000 government employees who aren't working, or rather that there are also thousands of employees who are mandated to work but aren't being paid. To say that this pisses me off is like an understatement. I've been screwed over by employers before, and the idea that the U.S. government is screwing over these people in this way is unbelievable to me. It costs money to go outside your house. Like, I literally, now that I work from home, work from co-working spaces, I'm struck by how much work actually costs. Like, when you step outside your door, you are hit with spending choices. Okay, and if you have no money coming in and kids and a commute, that becomes a problem real fast. 80% of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. So to not be aware of this in the context of some of the comments that I've heard related to the government shutdown, I'm just like, what the hell, people? Really pissed off about it. And that is part of why I'm doing today's episode. It also happens to be not only day 31 of the government shutdown, 31 freaking days of not getting paid when people are used to being paid every 2 weeks. It also happens to be Martin Luther King Day. And I'm going to have some comments on that moving forward. The thing is, when the government won't even pay its employees, this is a wake-up call. Okay, this is a wake-up call. There's a reason why I started the painful process of trying to figure out how to make money outside of my regular 9-to-5. And the reason was I've had more than one experience where I had someone floating my checks because they were, in my view, I thought they were laundering money. I was like, where's my money? And they would give this excuse. I was working in a retail space many years ago, and I needed that money. It was at the time that my mom had lost her job and I was working at Starbucks, and I'd pick up this other job, and the person who owned this place would be like, oh, actually, the checks are going to be a few days late. Now, when this happens like one time, okay, that can happen. It happened every single pay period, and we were in a recession in the state of Colorado at the time. So I was like, well, I really need this money. And finally, it all came to a head when my colleague's check bounced and everything that she paid for bounced too. It was a disaster. So and this is just one of my experiences. Like, I've had people, you wouldn't even believe it. So I've had a long term buildup of a dislike and distrust of having all of my financial eggs in one basket. Did I know what to do about that for a long time? No, because, you know, it takes a while to kind of figure it all out. But once I figured out this earn money digitally thing as an opportunity, I was all on it. Do I have it all figured out? No. Do I love it as a potential way to really grow income outside of a regular job? Yes. And so we're going to keep on talking. So here's the thing. You can no longer have all of your earned money, all of your money coming into your home, coming from one source. When the U.S. government won't pay its employees, this tells you that. You must focus on paying off your debt. Am I completely debt-free? No. Have I paid off a huge amount of debt? Yes. And it's a big difference in how my life is right now because I'm not dealing with a billion people. please start focusing on your debt. And I should say, this episode, perhaps there are people who are affected by the furlough who are listening, but I'm also hoping that the majority of people listening are not affected by this, but are aware that if they're in a situation where other people have control over their money, that they need to think about that. People need to think about that. The next thing is, be kind to yourself as you work through this process. You're going to learn a lot about yourself as you pay off debt and try to change your financial life. And sometimes it's not pretty. I can say that from experience. I wish I were further sometimes in my financial journey, but if I hadn't started it, I wouldn't be where I'm at now. And I'm very thankful for that. Find community. Real talk, you're not going to be able to do this on your own. And you may have relatives who don't understand what you're trying to do financially. They may not, even though this is the scariest thing I've seen, like I can't even believe I'm watching this happen and watching all these lives in the balance, like the financial precariousness of all of this. But you may express to your relatives, like, this worries me. And, you know, even though my job feels really secure, I'd like to do these other things. You might get pushback on that. So your number one goal, besides creating a goal to change your financial life, is also to find community of like-minded people so that you can have support as you figure things out and build up a side hustle that's completely separate from what you do in your regular job. Focus on achieving the easiest wins and building up from there. I think that most people complicate their lives and try to do the hardest thing first. Do the easiest thing first. So maybe the easiest thing is you just make a decision that you're going to make extra money and the goal is $100 every 2 weeks. That's it. That's literally the goal. And then the next month, it's like after you've achieved the goal of $100 every 2 weeks, the next month it's $200 every 2 weeks. Because with those easy wins, you build confidence. And confidence, I can't say enough about it. The way that I feel about the stuff that I share and sell as products now versus when I started, I'm very confident about them, but I had to take the risk and also experience the easy wins to build the confidence and get feedback from people that I sold things to and helped with different problems. So do the easiest thing. Don't make your life hard. Stay focused on the task at hand and remember that this is just for a season in your life. So whenever people talk about like paying off debt or earning more money or whatever, losing weight, other people get in their feelings about this. Like, oh my God, it's going to be forever. Of course it's not going to be forever. That's stupid. It's going to be until you reach the goal. Really, that's it, until you reach the goal, and then maintenance, right? Because you still, like with money, you have to maintain your mindset, and that takes a lot of focus, and that's a day-to-day kind of thing. With fitness, once you hit your goal, that's just physical maintenance. So each day, you kind of stay on track, do a little exercise, do some stretching, watch your food. But the thing is, there's going to be a point in time where you have to go all in. And for me, actually for 2019, or the beginning of every year, typically I feel like the holiday season finishes with the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday. So Dr. King's holiday signals to me the end of the holiday season. Yes, I said that. And yes, I own it. It is what it is. By the way, again, I'm recording on Dr. King's holiday. And instead of focusing on the economic injustice that I'm observing with the government being shut down and people not being paid, instead, I want to really focus on the following, which is I want you to focus on ideas that will make you money online, that you have creative control over, like you have 100% creative control over and no one else does. So I've got a podcast and a website, have these different things that I share online, and I've built a brand. And as I create products and tools, resources, books, things like that, those are things that I have created and no one else has control over but me. Copyright it to me. They're my creative content. And there's a reason why I did that, because I got sick of other people having a say in what I was doing and what I created and what money I earned. So focus on what can you do to make money online. Think about what skill or expertise you can sell via a website. No bricks and mortar. And the reason why I'm saying no bricks and mortar is, quite honestly, low overhead. You don't want to be paying rent and all these different things. So say, for example, you have a physical product that you want to sell. Instead of being like, I have this physical product that I want to sell, and now I have to have a store. Don't do that to yourself. Be like, I have this physical product that I want to sell. How can I collaborate with other businesses so I can do a pop-up in those businesses, bring people to their stores, connect with people with me and my product if you have a physical product. And that way you don't have to absorb the cost of renting a space. Think outside the box. Last year, I had the opportunity to attend the pop-up business school at the Mr. Money Mustache headquarters in Longmont, Colorado, which is about an hour from my house. Anyway, and the thing about this pop-up business school, it's the only one that they hold in the United States. The rest are held in Europe and England. The thing that I love about this school is that all of the ideas are to really lower your risk and also think outside the box so that you're not spending money on stuff that you can't. So spending money on renting a space when you're starting a business is a bad idea. Collaborating and doing pop-ups at a fraction of the cost and with twice the amount of publicity, because the business is also invested in having people come in, that's a good idea. So really think about how can you do what you want to do without experiencing the overhead expenses. Next, ask yourself, what do people ask you about all the time? So this would be one of those things where you feel like you're always teaching people the same thing over and over again. And you're like, well, there are other people making money doing this. Why aren't I making money doing this, teaching this skill? So if you get the whole, I would love to have a coffee, like, let's meet for coffee so I can pick your brain. That's actually a product. So whatever it is that they want to pick your brain about, that's a product. That's a product or a resource that you can share with other people, period. I love people. I love helping them, but that is a monetization opportunity. Take the opportunity. Okay. And also save your time, because you might be. So an example of that is I created a book about Colorado. I was getting questions about it all the time, and I love sharing Colorado, but some of the stuff that I was being asked, I was like, oh God, I wish I had a book to do that and just give it to people and they could buy it. I created a book and they buy it. Great. Because I don't have to do anything other than update the material. And I make money off of it, and it saves me time because I'm not answering the same questions over and over again. I should say this, if you're needing money right now in this moment, we're gonna talk about side hustles. So here are the ones that I love that I think you should consider that pay decently as far as side hustles go, and that you probably could get hired for pretty quickly. So the first one, which is one of my favorites actually, is brand ambassador work. If you live in a mid to larger sized town, brand ambassador work is highly likely to be found in your area. Basically, brand ambassadors share talking points about different products that companies are selling. I've been on different brand ambassador teams. I have a friend who does marketing, and she leads these teams specifically for a lot of times local businesses here in Colorado. One of my favorite ones was for a large yogurt company. It's a national company, but it's out of Colorado. So if you research it, you'll figure it out. It's not Silk. because Silk is actually a Colorado company and headquartered, White Wave Foods is Silk, and they're headquartered in Broomfield, Colorado. Anyway, excuse. So I loved that marketing program because I got paid about, I'd say $21 an hour, and then we were just handing out yogurt. It was the best thing ever. I like yogurt, so I got food. And sometimes we would do marketing up in the mountains, which was great. It would be a team of two of us. We'd have to hand out a lot of yogurt. The last time we did it was like 10,000 units of yogurt. That's a lot of yogurt, okay? But we also would get to stay in mountain resorts for the weekend on the company, which was awesome. So how do you find these brand ambassador gigs? Well, I'm going to include a link in the show notes kind of talking about how you can do that. But the other thing is you can go to Facebook, put in the phrase as a search, brand ambassadors of Oregon, brand ambassadors of Denver, brand ambassadors of New York City. And it's likely that there might be a closed Facebook group that you can join where they're posting different gigs. And they, meaning the companies that are looking to hire people, are posting gigs literally on a daily basis if you're in a town that has a lot of market research happening. Denver, where I'm from, tends to have a lot of market research. So there's VAs everywhere. They work at car shows, races, anything you could think of where there's a booth, special events, like the list goes on. It's crazy how many opportunities there are for companies to market their products, and they need people to do that. You will need to stand, remember talking points about the product, and just be really friendly and remember some like basic things like how many units of the product that you shared. You might have to take pictures of the people sampling the item to show to your to the company that you're working with that you are indeed doing your work. But it's a really fun gig. I've been lucky enough that when I've done this work, I've worked with the same people for like years and they're friends. So it's for me a wonderful side hustle. And I think it's a great one for a lot of people to consider because typically they're needing people on an ongoing basis, depending on what the program is that they're marketing. So please do check that out. If you're in a state like mine where there's like mountains and, or like a like beach or just kind of a special geographic area, you may also find that they're really specific, fun events specific to the area that you live in. So right now there's brand ambassadors for the X Games and Aspen and the different things like that. So get on that if you live in a place where those kinds of things could be happening. Please note, by the way, that while they will hire older people, it doesn't hurt to look as young as possible. I'm being very candid about this in the blog post that I wrote. I think I shared this. There is sometimes some ageism depending on the product. So some products, they don't care how old you are. Other products, they will literally say, we need a muscular guy aged no more than 27 years old. Or they might say, we need three women no older than 35, athletic build. So don't get all your feelings about it. Just keep looking because there's always a lot of different programs. That's just what brands might be looking for. It just depends on the brand. I've known people on my team who are in their 50s. So don't feel like it's not possible. Just know that you might find some listings where you're like, that sucks. Don't worry about it. Just keep looking. The next thing would be convention center work. So if you live in a town that has a convention center, they always need people to work the conventions. They need people to proctor exams, sometimes being held in a convention center. Maybe they need people to help direct other people from place to place. Maybe they're needing someone to man the front desk as people check into said convention. Give that a look. It might not pay as much, but it's likely that you get paid weekly for that kind of work. I've done that before, and I was paid about $13 an hour, which is still more than Starbucks. And I was paid each week, which was really nice, automatic deposit. Freelance writing, it's like one of those weird love-hate things. And I love that I freelance write in a niche that is lucrative. What I don't like about freelance writing sometimes is that in the beginning, people may end up with lower paying gigs. That's just part of the learning process. Also, you might end up with, especially if you're really needing money, You might stay with editors who drive you crazy. I will give you the following thing to think about: hire fast, fire faster. So if you are looking to freelance, right, decide what your minimum is going to be. Maybe you get a couple of articles under your belt. Maybe you have a blog already, and so you've got content that you can share with potential clients. But the minute they show that they're hard to work with, just fire them. Just know that you're going to fire them immediately. You don't want to be stuck with a bad client, because that will keep you from looking for good ones. So I've had some great clients in the last year, paid fast, fun scope of work, really quick turnaround in terms of feedback on posts, things like that. That has changed some of how I feel about freelance writing. I still want to phase it out by the end of 2019, but I'm not as annoyed by it as I used to be, because I fire fast. I don't deal with hard to deal with editors anymore, or just really unreasonable expectations for the scope of work and pay. If you're doing something where you're getting paid $1,000 for the post, that's a little different. It's $1,000. If you're doing something where it's $100 and they're like making you do 7 revisions, they gotta go. That's unreasonable. Virtual assistant work. I'm going to actually include a link to a course called the 10K VA. My friend Kayla Sloan runs that course, and basically she trains virtual assistants. And I know of people who've worked with her virtual assistants. They love her. The reason why the course is called 10K VA is she's making $10,000 or more a month with her own business and also training other people. She's really good at what she does. And I think that the VAs who learn from her are really able to find work and find really good clients that are clients that they can work with long-term, and also to kind of manage client turnover. So maybe her VAs find great clients. How do you manage them? How do you manage client turnover? That kind of thing. So 10K VA, I will share that in the show notes. Work special events. So summer is not technically around the corner, but when summer in particular arrives, there's all these special events. There's special events all year long, but I'm just using summer as an example. So like in Denver, we have a lot of huge like parties and festivals and parades, and like just the list goes on. And so those specific one-time events are opportunities to make money. I should say, with all of these suggestions, really make sure that you do your own due diligence in regards to pay, expectations, that kind of thing. Brand ambassador work in particular, make sure that you're signing with businesses that pay you every 2 weeks or every week. Some companies will try to pay you 30 days out, 60 days out. And the reason why they do that is they're waiting for the check from the company that they're working with. That's not helping you if you need the money immediately. So make sure you ask those kinds of questions before you say yes. Sharing economy opportunities. So if you have a house and you've got an extra bedroom and you're super clean, and I hate to say this, but you do need to be super clean, then sharing your home via Airbnb can be a wonderful way to make money. You do have to think about depreciating costs like sheets, things like that. Like you'll have some expenses, but it may be a good way to bring in some money as you are looking to build up income outside of your regular job. And there's also like Lyft, and there's so many. Oh, there's charging those scooters. So there's a guy online who's been charging those Bird scooters. Can I just say I hate those scooters? They're making me crazy. They're all over the place. But anyway, I digress. But there's this guy who made like $6,000 in a month and a half just charging those scooters. He had to pay electricity on charging them, but he charged so many, he's paid off all his debt. So that is a very low key, super easy way to make extra money. So I just want you guys to think about all the different ways you can make money, and significant money, to kind of tilt the needle in terms of whatever you're dealing with financially and whatever goal you're focused on financially. It's very clear that Americans have to take back control over their financial lives. The level of instability that we're experiencing in this moment from the government and just in business should be a huge wake-up call. Please don't ignore it. thoughts. Subscribe and like the show. Make sure to share with your friends. If you're looking to write your first book to build passive income, grow your online brand, or share some creativity, text the following phrase, ebook challenge, all one word, to 44222 to join the 5-day Write Your First Book Challenge today. Again, that's ebook challenge to the number 44222 and join the 5-day Write Your First Book Challenge today. Thank you so much for listening to the show. Have a great day. Bye.